She leads, she thrives. The home of inspired conversations, practical and creative wisdom, expansive leadership and business insights, abundant braggadocious moments of celebration, and useful info you can actually do something with. You'll hear about mindset, marketing, money, magnetism, self-awareness and the Thrive Factor framework, its archetypes and more. Amplify your role as a leader, a self-led soul. Tap into your effortless success zone. Turn your ingeniousness and wisdom into profitable income streams. From solo shows to guests you'll definitely want more from, there's something for every ambitious, ingenious soul. I'm Shannon Dunn, a true OG of the business coaching space with an obsession with thriving. You are so welcome here. Let's dive into today's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode, a new guest episode for Shalichi Thrives. I'm Shannon Dunn, your host here, long-term self-leadership and business coach. And the, goodness me, how do I even describe this? I love to do kind of like offhand interviews, Brett, like offhand answers, intros. I've got a lot to say about a lot of things. And one of the things I love most about my business is this opportunity to talk to interesting, captivating, challenging in lots of ways, because I've loved the content of yours, Brenna, that I have engaged with. It definitely challenged me to think differently. So Brenna McGowan, welcome. Thank you for being here. It's really great to have you as a guest for today's episode. So I first connected with your content. I can't even remember whether it was just this year in 2023 or it might have been late last year. Anyway, I was introduced by the fabulous Susan Riok, who we mow in common. Susan's done your program and worked with you, and she and I were in a mastermind together. And I think it was something you were hosting early this year that really got me interested in what you focus on in your business. So I'm glad that we've been able to connect and kind of get to know each other a little bit better. And here you are.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here.
So good. So let me share your bio so everyone gets a bit of an understanding of who you are, and then we'll jump into a conversation for today. So Brenna McGowan is a launch strategist and copywriter. She believes that hustle-based, high-pressure program launches don't serve you or your customers. I'm so happy to hear that. I really have an aversion to the word hustle and hustle culture. Indeed, she teaches a systemized pre-launch process to put leads through so they're primed, pre-sold, qualified, and raring to buy your offer. By leveraging her pre-launch and anticipation marketing, how interesting does that sound, everyone? We're going to find out more about that today, but those strategies. Brenna's clients have tripled and even quadrupled launch revenue growth, and I've seen you share evidence of that, yeah, time and time again. Yeah. It's not a one-off thing. It's a consistent thing with your clients. And to do that without the frenzy and chaos that they used to feel when launching. You also help your students inside the pre-launch plan program create strategic pre-launch plans that raked in hundreds of thousands in revenue. And when you're not strategizing or helping clients launch, you can find you walking in your Northern California neighborhood, continuing your endless search for the perfect white t-shirt. And I've read that, and I think I heard you share about your t-shirt thing, so you might have to tell us a little bit about that. Reading cheesy romance books or coming to terms with soon becoming an empty nester. And yeah, your children are quite grown now, aren't they? Yeah.
Yes. Tell us before we get into, I have a senior and a junior.
Yeah. So I was going to say, before we get into talking about real content for today, tell everyone a little bit about the white t-shirt thing. Because I think I love it. It's quite a quirky thing.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always looking for that, you know, and white tank tops as well. Like I'm always like, I feel like it's a staple in my wardrobe, but gosh, trying to find one that's not see-through, that is not too loose, not too tight, you know, for my middle-aged body. It's like, I'm always constantly searching and ordering and trying to find one. And you think a white t-shirt would be easy, but it's been, and I've ordered ones from Nordstrom that are like $50 that I sent back. And you know, sometimes I'll find a cheap one that works really well, but then it gets discontinued. So I'm just always looking for, and they get dingy over time. So yeah, it's just one of my endless searches.
I love it. I think I first read that in, maybe it was your welcome email, like the whole, you know, when you sign up for like one of your like opt-ins, your great resources that you have, and you shared it in there and it'd be like, get to know you. I was like, well, that's not something that I've seen anyone share. So it was very original, which I loved. And I think everyone can relate to it no matter who you are and what stage you're at and or where you are in the world. Because is that like the perfect t-shirt, whether it's a white t-shirt or another color, I think is a real thing for all of us. So it'd be something I imagine if you do travel, that's another thing. It's like, can I get a decent white tee or tank in another country? Yeah. Very fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah. So Brenna, you teach an approach to launching that I don't think I've seen people really focus on. And I think that's one of the reasons why it really captivated me and how you, some of the content of yours that I have engaged with and learned from. As I said, some of it challenged me to really think differently. So challenge in a good way, which was a really good thing. And we're definitely going to talk more about that and anticipation marketing. But first, I love a good founder story. So how did you get into your business? Like, how did you end up as a business owner?
Yeah, it was by accident, really, back in 2018, I joke around, I started my business out of vanity because I'm in my mid-40s now, but what happened was I was about to turn 40 and I was just feeling like, gosh, I was working as an assistant. I was doing some odd blogging, social media marketing. And I had a friend who was opening an esthetician business and I wanted fake eyelashes and she needed marketing because it was a new business. And I said, hey, why don't I do your emails and your Instagram? Like, I didn't even have an Instagram account like that I used. Facebook, I had a fake Facebook profile because to do posts on other people's businesses, you at the time, or probably still is like that, you had to at least have a profile. Like I had an alias, like I was not on social media. And so what ended up happening is I started to do her Instagram marketing and people were commenting to her like they really liked it. They liked what she was putting out. And I thought, gosh, this seems like a great business. Like, but I literally didn't. I always called the online world like this underground world. I had no idea existed. Like, I didn't know social media marketing was like a thing. And so I decided to start a business. I created a website. I had thought this would be great. People would pay me to do their social. And I got clients. I was also doing some blogging. I got clients immediately, which was great, except that I didn't know exactly what I was doing. So I put myself through like almost like a learning boot camp where I really started to go understand social media marketing and then decided I hated it and pivoted very quickly over into copywriting and email copywriting because I liked writing Instagram captions. I just didn't love all of the other stuff that goes along. Like, God bless social media managers. That's all I'm going to say. It is not an easy job. No. And so, it's really not when you think about especially in this day and age with reels and everything else, but even back then to get an image and do the hashtags, to think of things that are captivating. Back then, the perfect grid was popular. So you had to make sure everything like color matched and was branded. And it was just, and then trying to get stuff from clients, it was like too much for me. And so I liked the writing part. And so I decided to become an email copywriter and then just things kind of have progressed from there. And I just feel incredibly blessed. Once again, didn't know copywriting was ever a thing until I started my business. But that is where I really like honed in, got my skills, and then was able to kind of move into strategy, which we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, for sure. I love that. As I said, I love a good founder story. And so often, the thing I hear is I didn't mean or I didn't intend to be in a business. I didn't intend to have a business. And I love the accidental business owner. I think it's such a great thing that we saw a need or we had like you said, you had a personal desire to actually, have something else going on in your life. And then next thing you know, we find ourselves in business and then we do the whole learning and the realizing we do or don't like certain things. And then next thing you know, here you are, which is great. So anticipation marketing, I mentioned that earlier. What is that?
Yeah, it's something that I've created. And so what ended up happening over time, and I'll add on to the founder story a tiny bit because it leads into anticipation marketing, was that started to write launch copy for clients. And I had one particular launch that didn't go as well as we would have hoped. And I started to look back and be like, okay, how come I'm writing launch copy that sometimes, you know, goes off without a hitch, where other launch copy where it's like crickets. And even if we looked at like numbers and all of those things, there was something missing. And what I decided through my process and kind of being aware of what was going on was something called pre-launch, which is what is actually happening before someone puts an offer in front of their audience. Yes. And through talking about pre-launch and helping audiences through pre-launch, I've done a lot of studying, if you will, thinking about like, what is anticipation? And anticipation is something that some businesses may use accidentally. Some businesses, if you think about like the retail world, movies, entertainment, they very much use a pre-launch strategy, but it's something that online businesses don't really use, which is how can we build a lot of buzz, momentum, excitement for what we're going to put out before we ever tell someone about our offer? Because when we can build up anticipation, when we can get people excited about what's to come, it naturally will create an environment where sales become easier, where you don't have to be as much, you know, you don't have to have the stress, the pressure and stress that you have in a normal promotion. Because in online world, it's just the way it's set up. We do a lot of launches, yes, but most people find launches to be soul-sucking, horrible. Yeah. They're trying to figure a way out of launches. And I actually think launches, when you can do them right, are a great way to run your business, right? It's a great way to have times where you have, you know, where you have a natural buildup. You sell into something, you have higher income at a certain point, and then you're able to relax a little bit. And so I've been trying to reinvent how people see launches and really use anticipation marketing, which also encompasses pre-launch, into your selling to do those things.
I love it. And it makes so much sense. And if I think about some of the very traditional marketing training and learning that I've done, it makes me think of a concept called seeding, which is literally like planting little seeds all the way along and nurturing and nourishing those until they start to grow and bloom. At a certain point, you kind of let everyone know what they're going to become. And that's when you reveal the offer or whatever it is that you're actually, you know, making available for people to invest in. But what, you know, why is anticipation such an important thing for us to consider in business, like, and particularly in marketing? Because I think like people can understand it. Like you gave the examples of things like, you know, in the entertainment industry, how much of that kind of buildup that can happen. So we can feel what that's doing to us, you know, in terms of getting ready, getting excited. But why is it such an important thing to consider in marketing?
Well, first of all, if there's been studies, there was a study that was done in the 80s that talked about people who, when you anticipate something, you gain as much pleasure from the anticipation as you do from actually getting the thing, right? So if you think about, you know, right now, we're about to go into the holiday season. And so it's a great time to think about like, my sister and I are already planning, you know, what we're having for, we celebrate Christmas. So like, what are we having for Christmas dinner? Whose house is that? What, my kids are giving me their lists, right? There's all of this buildup. It's, if you think about how we are as humans, we live on anticipation on a personal level. Like what are we doing this Friday? You know, it's Monday right now. Tomorrow's, you know, when we're recording this, it's Halloween. What are we doing tomorrow for Halloween? You know, every week, what are we doing this weekend? So even on like a week to week, then we go into holidays, like how much? So it's like, how can we use some of that buildup that we have? I'm trying to remember, I'm pretty sure there's also, as I'm talking here, I've been doing a lot of reading. So hopefully I say this correctly, but anticipation actually gives you a hit of dopamine. So that's the other thing too, is like, it's actually psychologically something that, you know, when we can show someone, so obviously people that are listening might go, well, Of course, you know, Christmas is going to be exciting for you, or a vacation you have planned, or whatever those things are. But what is, how can I do that with my business? And it's like, well, can you help someone get out of the pain that they're in? Can you help someone see their life differently? Can you help someone get excited for what they're, you know, to see the realities of their business? If you're, let's, even if you're selling e-com, can you help someone think about how great they're going to look on a Friday night? You know, there's all of these things that when we can future pace people with our marketing, it all, it just automatically creates. And I actually wrote something today where anticipation to me, with when you think about seeding, is you're kind of talking about it, right? Anticipation marketing to me is a mix of, can I bring awareness around what I'm going to sell? Can I create some type of curiosity, right? Yes. While increasing desire all at the same time. And so it when you can do these things, you create this natural momentum for what you're about to sell.
Yeah, I love it. It's what I like, makes me think of a concept that I talk about called the lean in effect. It's like when someone's reading, listening, watching, looking at imagery, and something about what we've shared as business owners who are doing our own marketing, sharing our marketing around all the different places we can do that. But our audience is there, and they're literally, like, often in a physical sense, leaning towards their phone or their, you know, their laptop, their computer, and literally go, I want that. Like, what is that? Like, it's a curiosity and anticipation. So yeah, I love it. It makes, as I said, it made sense to me, Brenna, but it did in terms of the way you use this for a pre-launch and talking about pre-launch rather than just teaching about launching was the thing that challenged me to really think differently in a good way. Very curious. And of course, with that connection that we have with Susan, who we will also have on the podcast very soon, it was like, she loves what you teach so much that it was, that was also part of the anticipation for me, was listening to her talk about her experience of learning and applying what she's learned from you. So I think that's another kind of ripple effect, isn't it, of anticipation marketing, is that when people have had that experience and learn how to do it for themselves and their own businesses, they're going to automatically, well, I think automatically, because they're so excited and love the everything about it, are going to share. And that creates more anticipation for others leaning in too. So when you discovered this concept and started then applying it, what happened in your own business?
Well, for me, I thought of like, oh my gosh, this sounds really great, but there's no formal teaching on pre-launch or anticipation, right? So I had to go out and actually start, if you will, practicing on. So then what I ended up doing was like, I have this idea, there's people in launches, they might talk about pre-launch, but it's like a blip, right? Yeah, where I was like, what happened? Yeah, it's almost like an afterthought.
Yeah, it is. It's like the forgotten thing, or the, oh, that's right, I should probably put a lesson or a module in there. Let me just shove that in somewhere. Like, it, there's not really a focus on it at all.
Yeah. And so I had to back way up and go, okay, I'm going to create a strategy here that makes sense to me. And the beautiful part is because, and I think this is the blessing of being a social media manager, I really understood content. Yeah. And because I was a copywriter, I really understand conversion. And so I started to think like, how can I blend these two worlds, which are very, you know, in online business, it's either, oh, copy, you either have, you know, you either have content or you have this conversion experience. Mm. And I have in the middle what I call consideration, which is how could we build in this consideration time into our content where we're not just nurturing, but we're not hardcore selling. Yeah. And so I essentially thought of, okay, I kind of took what I knew from being a social media manager and took what I knew people need to know and understand and believe before they buy, and created a strategy around it and put it into practice with my first client. And she had outstanding results. She had somewhere around 50% increase. But the thing that really happened that is not just monetary, and that's obviously, we're launching, our goal is to make money. Yeah. But the cool thing that I didn't even recognize was by doing this, and this goes back to what we talked about with Susan earlier, is that by using pre-launch, by using these anticipation marketing strategies, you actually start calling in. I'm going to use the word better. I got to think of a better way to describe it, but better clients, better students, meaning is that this isn't, you know, people that are going through and coming and being part of my program. I do get the people that just happen to find me. You know, I still get some of those. But what ends up happening is I have people that have been watching me for quite a bit and are know what I'm about to sell. They've had a lot of time to think through the decisions on their own. So when someone goes to buy, and this is what happened with that first client, she started to recognize like her sales calls were way easier because she had done all of that pre-selling all in her pre-launch content. She was calling in students who were excited, who were coming in to do the work. They started to call in amazing students, or she started to call in amazing students like my, you know, Susan's, my one of my star students, which is like people that are getting amazing results, right? And because they're getting amazing results, because they were actually able to put in the time of the program, then they start, there. It becomes, I call it the undercurrent of marketing, where people actually start doing you're spreading your mission for you, talking to people about you. So you start, and then over time, this all compounds. You have your front end marketing, which is people finding you, getting to know you. And then you have people that are getting great results in the background who are telling their friends that they should join. And I had that experience with this last launch where one of the students was telling a friend, like, you know, and that friend joined this program. And I didn't have to sell because they were already sold because of that. So that's the really cool thing that happens. And one of my values in selling is autonomy and really giving people the decision to make a good buying decision for them. And I started to think too, and this goes back to how I got into pre-launch, which was, I don't like to be pressured into a sale. I don't like to have 7 days to think about spending thousands of dollars. And even further along in my business, I really think through these decisions. If I'm going to go spend thousands of dollars, I want to make sure I have time, right? So I started to think, gosh, and then I was like, no wonder why people have launches that they feel like bomb or aren't as successful, right? Because all of a sudden they have a bunch of people in their audience, like you and me, who are like, no, I need a little time to like lean into this and just have and really see a picture before I go and hand you my money.
I think that is such an important thing to talk about because there are, it feels like an increased number of people in this kind of coaching, mentoring business space that are very much around the pressure of, you know, what I saw in another example yesterday from someone that I followed for quite some time now, and I've watched her change her strategy and go from, here's the thing, it's this much today, tomorrow it'll be this much, and the price just keeps going up in huge amounts, and the pressure to get in on it so that you are not probably overpaying if you really look at it, because if someone's going to make something available at, you know, a tenth of what its final price will be, I wonder what the actual true value of it is, right? That's my questioning I go into. And that actually makes me do that, not that lean in. It makes me lean back and go, this feels a bit dodgy. It doesn't feel ethical. Like there's something about this that's, and if I feel pressured to buy, even if I want the thing, I won't buy it. Yeah. And there's I think there's out there who are like that.
Yeah. And the market has become more sophisticated. So that's just the long and short, like some of the stuff that you could do in the past that, you know, there's more and more like people have been burned, you know, wallets are tighter than ever. We have more choices. You know, there's so many people on, you know, online businesses grew by, I think it's like the stats, like 300%. My friend Brittany McBean, she wrote, I got to find where that stat is. I saw her quote that somewhere. But so when we think about that, it's just like these, and what I really like too, is you were talking about that, like positioning yourself too as a premium brand, which is I think what a lot of us want to do, especially as coaches, and is that we want to position ourselves as premium. And when you start doing these, like, for lack of better words, these bro marketing hacks that have been around for a bit, people don't trust you and you're not positioning yourself in a way that where people are buying on pressure, on cheaper, and you start playing that game in over, especially with the way the market is right now, it's going to be easy to lose over time.
For sure. And I think a lot of people underestimate that. And while it's still being taught, as you said, bro marketing is very much a phrase that gets used for that kind of pressure tactic, isn't it? And for anyone who doesn't understand what that means, just go and search that term. You'll see a lot of examples of what Brenna and I are talking about. And again, I find some of them quite amusing to look at. And having been in the coaching space for 18 or more years, I've seen a lot of trends come and go. And I find it interesting when certain things kind of come back that are more in that bro marketing style. And I tend to find a lot of them are pressure focused. And I understand people are feeling pressures from a financial perspective after, you know, the back end of the pandemic and different other, you know, things that are happening worldwide. It's not just one part of the world that's experiencing lots of different pressures and challenges and uncertainty. And as you said, the market also has got incredibly more sophisticated. And I would much rather work with a sophisticated client who's really been considered in their investment, in their decision, in their, I want to, you know, work with you, than someone who's just kind of fallen into it for whatever other reason. This doesn't mean we still don't get incredible clients that by accident almost end up working with us, but I'd much rather someone who had considered and taken the time and been given the time and didn't feel pressured. I find that over all these years ends up being a much better, more nourished, nurtured, outcomes experienced relationship for both client and kind of coach or mentor. So it's interesting, isn't it? See, but what I'm curious about now, Brenna, is someone who's sitting listening and very curious about what you've been sharing about that whole anticipation, but really feeling puzzled as to how to take how they've been sharing or creating and sharing content. Someone that maybe is that person who has not liked launching because of how whatever pressure tactics or, you know, the way that they've done it, because they just go straight into now the, you know, the doors are open, join the thing, and haven't really warmed up an audience, don't even have an aligned audience for the thing that they're selling. Where do they start with this? Like, where do we go kind of to go, you know, reverse up a few steps, probably many steps? Where do people get started with something like this to really change the way that they have been doing things to really make the most of this opportunity for, you know, anticipation marketing?
Yes. So the first thing is you have to have time, right? So, so that's the first thing, is really looking at a calendar, thinking through, when do I want to do a promotion? I personally like 5 or 6 weeks of a pre-launch period. Okay. And so, but that means you have to really, you have to be ahead of the game, right? So that's the first thing, is starting is by planning out your calendar, thinking about when you want to promote, thinking back, going and taking a look, thinking, okay, if I start 6 weeks ahead of time, does this make sense? It's incredible to me, as working with private clients, working with students, that most people think they're planning their launch and they're not really planning their launch. So that is the first thing, is to really plan. The second thing on anticipation marketing is, I'm going to say this, and I want everyone to think about it, is that you have to, in this pre-launch time, to build up anticipation, the first thing that has to happen is that people have to have a buy-in to your process, not your offer. So pre-launch is about selling your process, not selling about your offer. So when you think,
I was going to say, Brenna,
go ahead.
I'm going to interrupt you, but that is such an important thing for people to listen to and to really understand. Yeah. So if anyone is listening, you need to rewind, please do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm going to give you, I always use my friend Linda Sidhu as an example, because I really feel like, I'll give you an example of what this looks like out in the wild, which is Linda sells a program called, and she's one of my clients, had a great pre-launch, is that she sells something called the Quiz Lab. Well, okay. For people, in order for someone to invest in the Quiz Lab, which is a high-end group coaching hybrid experience, they have to believe that a quiz is the way for them to, for her, a quiz is a way to get leads quicker, to get a more engaged audience, to segment people by their personality, right? So there has to be a buy-in for that before someone is ready for the quiz lab. So what I see a lot with launch copy is I see a lot of people trying to do the pre-launch work in launch copy. They're trying to educate, for lack of better words, their person about why they need a certain system, a certain framework, whatever that is before. And then they're wondering why, oh gosh, it feels like my launch copy is so long. It's because, yeah, because you're trying to sell your process along with your offer, where if you can back up a little bit in this, and that's really what this happens. And it, when you start to do this, is that you will notice that there are a different set of objections, a different set of beliefs people have to have before they can take you up on that offer. So, for example, for me, for the pre-launch plan program, right? Like, people have to firmly believe that pre-launch is the way to have easier launches that are less stressful, where you get to really connect with people in your selling, right? So, but I have natural objections to pre-launch too. If anyone's listening to this and you heard me say 6 weeks, and you might be like, 6 weeks, like launching is so stressful already. Like, how, now you're telling me I have to extend it by 6 weeks. So I have to help shift some of your beliefs around and overcome that objection. So like, okay, no, pre-launch isn't 6 weeks of selling. Pre-launch isn't more content, right? I have all of these like things that I have to kind of go ahead and have people believe before we get to the part where someone is like, yes, okay, now I'm considering the pre-launch plan program, but now the objections are different. People are, oh, okay, I'm bought in on pre-launch. I knew I need to do a pre-launch, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to make that investment right now. I'm not sure if, do I really need a 3-month program, or can I just go get this off of a workshop, right? Like, there's a different set of objections that happen during launch and during pre-launch. So that's really, if you're like, where do I start? Really start to think about, first plan your calendar, and then think about, I call it the buyer belief statement. What is the thing that someone has to believe before they're ready to take you up on your offer? And if you can start creating content around that concept, then when you do put an offer in front of someone, they are much more apt to take you up on it.
Yeah. Buyer belief statement. I love that. And it makes so much sense when you can hear someone actually explain it in more, you know, in more detail and give examples like that. Because as I said before, with the objections that so many people have to launching for various different reasons, telling them, like you said, that they've got to extend another period of time ahead of the actual launch phase is going to be an immediate no for a lot of people without them understand, like taking the time to understand the value and reasons why you're suggesting that that's something to consider. Yeah. And I think if the thing you're doing, if you're launching isn't working, then why keep doing it the same way? All right. Yeah.
And even if it is working, even if you have launches that are going great, I am not one of those people that have like, I see a lot of nuance in marketing and in life, but I can confidently say there's no way, if you start doing the process that I show people, that you will not be making more sales. There's just no way, because if you have an audience of people who, you know, are in the vicinity of wanting to buy your thing, and you can start shifting beliefs, overcoming some of those objections early, and not even overcoming them as much as that you're showing people, okay, maybe you should think about it from this angle. You're really future pacing someone. And that's where that anticipation comes of what's on the other side of what's going to happen. When you can start doing that ahead of time, you can absolutely guarantee that you're going to have more people interested in what you're putting out. Because what ends up with most people is that they are so busy with the launch that they completely ignore their person, or they're just kind of throwing out random content that is not super intentional and strategic before they put out the offer.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, we see, I think if anyone listening has been in business for even like a minute, they'll have seen examples of this done poorly. Yeah, more than examples of it done really well. And I think a great way to maybe get a sense of what this could be like is, you know, for a moment, maybe if everyone who's listening just thinks about something that you effortlessly invested in. for whatever reason? What was the process that you kind of were guided through? What were the points of the content, the interaction, the learning, the experience, that anticipation that you experienced? Because that was all leading to you making that investment, right? And sometimes that might be over a short period of time, or it might be over a longer period of time. Like, I have no doubt in my mind that at some point I'm going to do that pre-launch plan program with you. But there's other things that are going on in my life that just are interrupting that right now. But, you know, it's like that. But the anticipation of knowing it's coming at some point in time definitely excites me. So,
thank you.
Right? That's it in reality, right? Now, I often I love to ask this final question I've got for you today before I kind of do some wrap-up questions. I ask every single one of our guests to share something that's kind of like your superpower. Like, if I asked a friend or someone who knows you really well, what would they say your superpower is? And some of the answers that I get shared by the guests are just phenomenal. And then I'm like, I want to know more about that. And yours is one of them, because I don't ask everybody this. But you said, Brenna, that it's being able to connect any situation to a story that resonates with someone's audience. Yeah, and that you also think that helping people hone in on their messaging is another one of your superpowers. So tell us more about that connection of any situation to a story that can resonate with an audience. Tell us more about that, because I love that kind of thing. And I know that I've said that often to my clients. So tell me about something that happened or they experienced or they felt. I'm like, well, that's great. That will lean into this piece of your content. And they look at me like I'm speaking another language. So tell us more about your process with that.
Yeah, that's, I think being an email copywriter is, and telling stories, that is just, I love it. And it's a huge part of pre-launch, right? And why selling during pre-launch doesn't feel like selling, because there's a lot of storytelling, right? There's a lot, it's not just like shoving information down people's throat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so because I'm an email copywriter, and when I do this with students inside my program, and I do this with clients as well, is that when we come up with the strategy of like, okay, what do we need to talk about? What is that angle that we need to talk about? For, let's say, you know, if we went to something along the lines of pre-launch, and I was talking about people talking about like the 6 weeks that it feels like too long, right? And so my goal here is to be like, okay, now how can we find a story that connects to that point where we can have an analogy, you know, whether it's something silly that's happening in your daily life, maybe it's a client story, but I actually teach a whole process of this around in my program, but I can definitely, from all of my years of experience, I can literally tie together, you know, and I call it my front end. Now I'm going to forget what I call it, but front end or back end, meaning I can figure out if I have a story that's funny, then I can figure out a connection to it, to my business, through the point I want to make, if it's truly a story I want to tell. Yes. Or sometimes, like the strategy during pre-launch, where we're being much more strategic, is that I know I need to talk about a certain topic. Now I need to find a story to match it. So it's whether I go forward or backward, it just depends on my situation.
Yeah. I love it. It's fun. And you know, if anyone else kind of does understand what Brenna and I just talked about, then that I find that one of the most fun things about content creation is just being more observant and aware of what is actually happening in your life. And well, how can I actually use this as I call it a teaching opportunity? Like, how can I weave the story in? As you said, it might be about yourself personally. It might be someone you know, and you can, you know, anonymously share the story. It might be a client, whatever it is, but what's going on that you can tie back to the thing that you're talking about in your content, because of it's for launch or it's for something else that you're doing to build awareness, to build authority and credibility, whatever the kind of purpose, I guess, of the content you're sharing is. So it's lots of fun, I think, to challenge yourself to connect with those stories, as you said, either the back end or the front end version, however it comes, to kind of find that, or to have an experience of something and go, how could I use this? And maybe right there and then you can't, but I know for me, sometimes I'll make a note of the story, or I think, you know, plant it in my mind or in my heart, like, so at some point in time, there's going to be an incredible opportunity to use this. Don't forget it. Yeah, lots of fun.
Yeah. Exactly. And you can go back, like I told a story about me as a kid last week in my email. So you can even go back into your story bank. Doesn't even have to be something that is currently happening. You can, you can truly talk about anything, which this is the other reason why I like pre-launch as well, is because when you start strategizing early, you're doing things early, you're planning, like you said, these stories will start to jump out at you when you'll start to see them and you'll be like, oh yes, that's a great story for when I need to talk about this specific pain point. Right. And it's truly what starts to happen. Like you start seeing almost in an annoying way sometimes, because everything you're like, oh, I got to tell a story about that. Right. Like there is, you almost feel like you have too many stories. So if you're someone who's felt stuck in your writing and felt stuck in what should I send to my email list, when you start doing this process that we're talking about, it becomes 100% easier and more interesting.
Doesn't it? So much so. And if you're sitting there also thinking that Brenna and I are talking about something that you don't ever believe that you could do, I think we can both say you will be able to do. So it's just about learning a little bit more around the how. And I think opening your awareness to just paying more attention without putting too much energy and effort into it, just to what's happening day to day in your world. And the things that you're hearing from other people as well, and thinking, well, how would that relate to my business? I think that's a really great way to consider it, right? How could this relate to what's important to me? You know, what I've got coming up that I am launching, or what I want to share, or a point I want to get across. So lots of fun. I think it's lots of fun. I know you do too, which is great. All right. So we're at the point in our fabulous conversation today, Brenna. I'm going to ask you some questions that I ask every one of our guests, just to kind of bring us back into the themes of leadership and thriving for She Leads, She Thrives. So the first one I'd love to know your answer to is, what role does leadership play in your life and business?
Gosh, you know, I feel like my answer is tainted because I had someone go through my program, Angie Coley, and she was working on leadership. And I think through Angie and my work with Angie and helping her create a pre-launch or create, you know, some messaging and strategy and this was something that like came up, is like, I don't think we realize how much we are leaders. And I think we discount ourselves, especially if we have our own business and we're not leading a huge team, right? That you are a leader in your community. And I think that is something, with Angie being a student of mine and talking so much about leadership, really thinking that through as a new role that I hadn't really considered myself as you know, leadership material, if you will.
No, and I think it's such a common thing that in the way that we kind of grow up, the learning we do in a school environment, you know, if we do or don't go to university, and so there's additional kind of tertiary education, then we end up as an employee somewhere. Leadership is such an externalized experience so much, isn't it? So I say that is such an influence on why a lot of people don't recognize their own leadership within themselves. Or like you say, you come to a business and you have a community, people are looking to you. They are looking to you for leadership. You're the one that has the knowledge, the experience, the expertise, or something that they are looking to learn or to engage with. So they're putting us in a position of leadership where we offer. It's not uncommon to not recognize that. So I love that your kind of mind was open to thinking about it differently and seeing yourself more as a leader. So Brenna, I'd love to know now, how do you know when you're thriving?
For me, I think it's being at peace. And you and I were talking beforehand, I'm naturally a very anxious person. And I've always been, unfortunately, since I was a kid. And so I feel like finally in my fifth year in business that I've had more space, more peace than I've ever had. And to me, that's where the thriving comes. Because when you're feeling tortured inside, and that probably too even goes why I love helping people with launching and reimagining, you know, not that launching's ever easy, but I think it can get to a place where it's peaceful. And that's really the goal.
Yeah.
I've never said that before. I'm so happy to be talking about that. Because I think that is, like if you don't have peace in your life, then it's not worth it. So
the answers that we get to that question are both diverse and beautifully synchronistic. You know, we're all, I'm talking to different individuals with different lived experience in different parts of the world, and yet there has been some synchronicity in so many of the answers, and peace comes up quite regularly, which so I love that we were able to, I was able to ask you that and you to be able to share. So if anyone is listening and they're curious to know more, how can they connect with you? Like, where's the best place to find you in the online space?
Yeah. I'm on Instagram at BrennaMcGowan.co. I also have a Facebook group called Behind the Launch, and it's a very active Facebook group. We have a lot of fun in there. And I run an event twice a year where we actually talk about launches and what worked well in people's launches. So it's a really fun place to be. So I would say Instagram or the Facebook group are the best places to find me.
Right. And we will make sure that those links are available in the show notes. Anyone listening, that's where you can go and connect with Brenna. And I am in your Facebook group, which is where I've got to know more about you and your content and what is important to you, which is how I ended up reaching out saying, please come and be on the podcast. Let's talk more about this. And you're right. It is very engaged, lots of fun. And, you know, in a sea of, I don't even know how many Facebook groups there are now on Facebook, but so many of them are disengaged. They're kind of empty. And I don't know about you, but I find myself opting out of more than I opt into these days. But I love yours. You know, there's always kind of something going on there. And it's not, yes, it's a lot about launching, but again, you weave stories and different things in exactly what you've talked about today to give people a lived experience of what you teach. So yeah, it's been lots of fun being a part of that. So you have a resource that people can opt into to kind of find out more about, you know, some of the great things that you do. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And then we'll also make sure that we link that up in the show notes for anyone who's interested.
Yes, I have my pre-launch cheat sheet. So if you're listening and you're like, okay, starting on this content sounds great, but like, okay, what exactly should I be saying to my audience? So I break down, there's three core beliefs that everyone has to have before they buy from someone. So we have to believe that, that you are the right person for me to buy from, that you or your offer, or I'm sorry, your offer or your method is the one that I want to take advantage of. And I have to believe in myself enough that I can actually get those results, right? And so I show you through that cheat sheet the type of content you should be creating before you launch to help satisfy those beliefs. And once again, help you sell more in this non-pressury way.
Yeah, love it. Yes, yeah. Anti-hustle was a big thing, right? Let's move away from that. I remember some years ago actually looking at the definition of the word hustle, and that was a 100% confirmed for me why I didn't like that word. So, you know, as a copywriter, you're probably quite fascinated in the origin and the meaning of words as well. So that was like, yep, 100%. Now I understand why I do not like that word. I don't like the phrase side hustle. I don't like the pressure and the push that comes along with that kind of thing. So yeah, we're here for more ease and space, right? Better results because of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And less outward pressure and more internal desire. And that's really where, that's what we want to build up, that internal desire, so that you don't have to use the pressure.
Yeah. Love it. So what's a final piece of wisdom that you'd like to share based on all that we've talked about today, which is a lot of incredible, incredible content, but something to share, as I said, the final piece of wisdom for the ambitious kind of impact-driven, legacy-creating souls that are listening into us today?
Yeah. When I think about what I want to say in as like a wrap up, I would say that this is what I feel pressed to say, is that like, this is truly possible, right? I think we talk about so many things and we think, okay, this is really great, but you know, this is great for Brenna's clients, or, you know, this is what Shannon's talking about. But more than ever, I've seen come to fruition. I do the same thing that I show my clients, right? And over time, I just have just see like, oh, I think I've almost had, even not even consciously, but subconsciously, a little bit of like, okay, this can happen for all my clients, right? But can this really happen for me? And I think that's what I really want to leave everyone with, is that this can be you. Like, you can be able to start selling in these ways, that you can, you know, have more impact, you can grow your communities, and you can do it in a way that, once again, is not always maybe super easy, but where you can invite more peace. And so that's what I think. Yeah. How I'd like to wrap it up is just remind everyone that these aren't just strategic principles that are for someone else. These are things things that you can start to apply in your business.
Mm-hmm. Such an important thing to remember, because so often we do look from the outside, don't we? You're like, yeah, that's great. Look at what she did. Good on her. I couldn't do that. I can't do that. Or I've tried that and it doesn't work for me. But often there is things missing, like the strategy and the giving yourself the time and the support, having someone to guide you through things. You know, that makes everything so much easier. So I love that, Brenna. Thank you so much for joining me today and coming and having a conversation for Shalishi Thrives. I look forward to sharing this and kind of seeing what both our audiences think when they get to listen more about anticipation marketing, and hopefully challenge like me to reconsider the actual launch process and experience and that the value of pre-launch. So yeah, very, very cool. Our listeners, thank you for tuning in and listening to what Brenna and I had to share today. There's so many pieces of wisdom, like little nuggets, little gold things, all like dazzling all the way through. I'm a big fan, when I love a podcast episode, of going and listening again to make sure I kind of get all of those things that I missed the first time. So I think this, I feel that this is going to be one of those kind of episodes. So much to go back and to listen to again. So Brenna, thank you so much. Guests, but, you know, as I said, I don't take lightly about how I reach out and invite people to come and be a guest. So thank you for saying yes to me and for helping us to further our connection. And I look forward to hopefully being one of your success stories at some point when I get to do the pre-launch plan program with you. Thank you.
Thank you. I so appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. You are so valued and appreciated. Aside from this podcast, my favorite place to hang out online is definitely Instagram. So come and join me, Shannon_thrivefactor. And no, my DMs are always open for genuine questions and connections. For all the latest Thrive Factor goodness, visit thrivefactorco.com/links, where you'll find more about thriving in life and business. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show and share it with your friends. Let's amplify thriving the world over.